Hey, everybody. Joe Biden goes global from Rome to Glasgow. We talk about what is the aim and the ambition of the globalist project and the climate change lobby. We talk about that and so much more on this important episode of the Charlie Kirk Show. Very news-centric as we go into that. Email us your thoughts. As always, freedom@charliekirk.com. I can't wait to see all of you. Phoenix, Arizona, everybody. December 18, December 19, December 20, December 21. The largest conservative event in America, the largest pro-American celebration in America, tpusa.com/AMFEST. It's the largest event in the movement, an event unlike anything you've ever seen. Dozens of top conservative leaders, special musical guests, and so much more. I will be there. Tucker Carlson will be there. Kayleigh McEnany, Ted Cruz, Jesse Waters, Candace Owens, Rand Paul, Jim Jordan, Donald Trump Jr., Madison Cawthorn, Kimberly Guilfoyle, Jack Posobiec, Benny Johnson, Sarah Palin, and so much more, with musical appearances with Brantley Gilbert, Russell Dickerson, Adam Doliak, Lee Greenwood, and DJ Silver. tpusa.com/AMFEST. Look, if you guys are looking for something fun to enjoy yourself, because I know this year has been tough, and especially with the current regime and what they're doing, tpusa.com/AMFEST will be a celebration. It'll be a celebration of things that actually matter. tpusa.com/AMFEST will be a place where you are able to celebrate the country, and we'll have some worship there too if you love the Lord. Meet new friends. If you just want to get out and you want to meet some fun people and you want to see what's happening in the country, just do it. I'm a big fan of spending your money to go meet new people and to get outside of your house. I mean, if you look at all the stuff, the Netflix subscriptions, the Hulu subscriptions, all the stuff you spend money on, the best money you can really spend on is in-person events. Those things give you inspiration, they give you hope, and you're able to connect with other people. So check it out right now, tpusa.com/AMFEST. Buy your tickets today, tpusa.com/AMFEST. I can't wait to see all of you there. If you want to support our program, you guys can do so at charliekirk.com/support to get behind the work we are doing to hire more staff and stay cancel-free. I want to thank Amy from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you. Sarah from Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. Thank you. Luis from Alabama, thank you. Nick from Jackson, Mississippi, thank you. Danica from Washington, thank you. Sheila from Arroyo Grande, California, thank you. Shannon from Lebanon, Tennessee, thank you. Frank from Chapel Hill, North Carolina, thank you. Russ from Frisco, Texas, thank you. Frank from Chapel Hill. And finally, Ronald from Ohio. CharlieKirk.com/support allows us to stay strong, cancel proof. And if you guys want to get behind us and be a team member with us, it's charliekirk.com/support. Let me say that again. charliekirk.com/support is the place for you to get behind us and to help us out. Again, tickets are running out for America Fest, so check it out at tpusa.com/AMFEST. Check it out today. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. This episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself, expressvpn.com/Charlie. All right, lots to get to. I want to start with the globalists' scenic tour throughout Europe. Now, I spent about an hour researching it this morning, and I found very little coverage about this. It was just kind of almost, it was coverage as if this was the Emmys or if it was the Oscars. It's like, here's who showed up, here's what they wore, here's how they wore their mask, and the only questions reporters asked is, who are you wearing? You know, what sort of fashion icon are they? I guess, advertising. So it started in Rome with the G20 summit. Now, these summits are largely a waste of time. It is nothing more than political theater. Joe Biden met with the Pope for an unusual amount of time. There is some internet suspicion that there might have been something that happened in that meeting. We're going to do our own independent reporting until we kind of go through mentioning that one. But it's a very strange meeting between Joe Biden and the Pope. And then the Pope comes out and he says, no, actually, Joe Biden said what the Pope said. I don't think the Pope actually said it. But he said, yeah, the Pope just wants to say, I'm such a great Catholic, which I find very interesting for someone who is okay with a million abortions a year every single year, how the Pope could call him a good Catholic. But I'm not Catholic, therefore I'm not going to say much else about this Pope. You guys can email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com, for all the faithful Catholics out there that have opinions of what he has been doing or his certain perspectives. And so that's what, it started in Rome, and now they're in Glasgow, Scotland. And so they all flew from Rome to Glasgow for a climate change event. So the most obvious first question is, why didn't they stay in Rome? Or if they needed a real venue change, why did they go to Naples or Florence? They could have just took a bus. No. Instead, they had to load up on private planes and fly all the way to Glasgow, Scotland for the continuation of the Internationalist Climate Change Conference. And so Biden was been pushing for a borderless society while he was in the Vatican, one of the most militarized, walled off communities and kind of nations on the planet. And then he gets in a private jet, Air Force One, and flies to Glasgow. And all to encourage the elimination of fossil fuel consumption in our country and across the world. It's globalist theater. That's all this is. But in Glasgow, they are now meeting for a couple days. And don't worry, everybody. Greta Thunberg is there. Her boat has arrived. Greta Thunberg has arrived in a boat in Glasgow. And she is there to try to tell everybody that, how dare you fly in your private jets? I'm kidding. She actually didn't say that. Instead, she's leading a protest saying, and I kid you not, I read this story from the New York Times as she is here. She says, right now, world leaders are meeting for historic climate talks, but pledges that real action won't cut it anymore. And she says, we are catastrophically far from the crucial goal of 1.5 degrees Celsius. She's admonishing you, everybody. She's scolding you. And look, here's the, needs to be the number one question whenever these leaders go abroad, which is this. Are we a sovereign nation that can chart our own destiny, or are we a mere equal in some sort of globalist project? Who controls our borders, our language, our future, our carbon emissions? Is it the United States Congress, or is it some sort of internationalist, globalist project? Now, the founding fathers were very clear that the limitations on American power stop at the borders of our own country. Being involved in internationalist organizations usually does not go well. The League of Nations fell apart. The United Nations has been a total and complete disaster since it was formed post-World War II. And the reason is that tyrannical dictators take advantage of the idea that there's an internationalist order. In fact, the same sort of internationalist type, globalist style governments that were formed after World War I were just ignored by dictators in Italy and Germany and all across Europe and across the country, across the world. So who controls our borders, our language, and our future? Is it Greta Thunberg and John Kerry, or is it the voters of our country? By the way, if you've seen these puff pieces on John Kerry the last couple of days, it's a picture. There's one that says, the American diplomats challenge in Glasgow. Now here's something you have to understand, is that the climate change push is the ultimate virtue signaling campaign, because the ruling class is completely exempt from it. They don't have to make any changes to their current lifestyle. They get to have massive homes on Martha's Vineyard. They get to continue to fly in private jets. And they don't even believe the nonsense that they are saying. If they actually believed it, they wouldn't be buying oceanfront properties. If they actually believed their nonsense, they wouldn't be buying $100 million mansions in Malibu or $40 million homes in Martha's Vineyard. Now, if they actually believed that the end of the world was imminent, they wouldn't just be issuing press releases and having conferences on this. No, they would be living out the actual campaigns that they are putting forward. Instead, this is a great, it's a phenomenal intersection is what the climate change issue is. It's an intersection of many different interests together. It's an intersection of the youth activists that have actually been told that there's this eschatological end, which means end times to our world. In the next couple weeks or months, the world is going to overflow from melting ice caps. Volcanoes are going to get back into action and we are going to fall apart. You think I'm kidding? What's the poll? Can you get the poll? What percentage of young people think that the world is going to end? It's a stunning figure that this is the most apocalyptic believing generation in American history. And yes, when you start a 5-year-old in public school and you tell them the world is falling apart absent the abolition of fossil fuels, they're going to start to believe it. And the lefts, and it's not just the left, there's some people on the moderate right, but let's just call them the left for the time being. Their obsession with climate change is a necessary means to the end of ending private property ownership as we know it, constitutional governance, independent judiciary, and massively collectivizing society. Now, one thing that I think is lost on a lot of people is the connection between the Fauci virus and the climate change push. One of the main reasons why there's such an emphasis on the climate change program right now in Glasgow, Scotland, is that the virus is now no longer a mandate to reform society. Is that they are kind of hitting the final gasp of vaccine mandates, of social control, of mask mandates. Lockdowns are still going to happen, but generally people are starting to push back a little bit. And the virus has lived out its life cycle of tyranny. The tyranny gauge, how much is left to disperse, they're running low. People say, wait a second, we know how this works. I've already had it. I've been vaccinated. Enough. But climate change is something that is not specified. Climate change is something that you must, the same sort of language. Do you notice how the same sort of language is used with climate change as it is with the Fauci virus? Trust the experts. We must follow the science. What kind of future do you want to give your children? Are you an internationalist murderer? And the same sort of villains present themselves. Tribalistic, nationalistic right wingers. And we're going to dive into details on how the globalists, the United Nations folks, what they're really trying to accomplish right now in Glasgow. Of course, exempting themselves from any sort of lifestyle changes.
I got a crash course into home title theft, and you better pray this never happens to you because it can ruin you financially. Here's how the crime happens. The legal titles to our homes are kept online where they can be hacked. A cyber thief finds your home's title, forges your signature on a quit claim deed, stating you sold your home to him. Then he takes out loans against your home until your equity is gone. You won't know until the collection calls pour in. You're not protected by insurance, your bank, or common identity theft programs. Home Title Lock protects you. And in the unlikely event you become a victim of home title theft, while a member, Home Title Lock will spend up to $250,000 in legal fees to help restore your home's title. Go to HomeTitleLock.com and register your address to see if you are already a victim. I got a crash course in this, everybody. It's so important. Then use code RADIO for 30 free days of protection. That's code RADIO at HomeTitleLock.com. HomeTitleLock.com. Register your address. HomeTitleLock.com.
I want to just finish this point of what is the aim and the ambition of the internationalist project? Well, the globalist goal necessitates a stronger mandate to control you. And this is why so many member countries for years refused to moderate their COVID response. You see, the response to the Fauci Chinese coronavirus, their reaction to it, and what they were willing to do was a dress rehearsal for what they planned to do for climate-related hysteria. You see, getting people used to doing things that might be against your normal pattern of behavior, wearing masks, getting vaccine mandates, locking down the economy, they wanted to try to get you used to, move the Overton window, if you will, to extreme, unprecedented, and radical measures that would involve you changing your life for something that is not really specific, that may or may not hurt you. But in order to stop the spread of the virus, you have to lock down the entire country. Now, they're going to do the exact same thing for climate change. You see the intensity of the language of the leaders in Glasgow. You see from the activists especially, one of the ways that they're going to try to bring in the great reset that Klaus Schwab from the Global Economic Forum, World Economic Forum has said, you will own nothing and you will be happy. There will be no more meat and the world will have this whole new future starting in 2030. Just give more power to the central planners. When that actually happens, and we're 9 years out from when they say the Great Reset is actually going to occur, climate change is one of the main reasons they're actually leaning on as the way to give them the power to do that. Joe Biden had a very difficult time explaining himself to the international community. There's new video to show up that he's actually fallen asleep and that he's not even staying awake in the COP26 or something. What is this? COP26, COP26 or something? And Joe Biden is a willing partner in trying to participate in the same sort of deal that Obama signed, the Paris Climate Accord. Remember, Donald Trump repealed America's participation in the Paris Climate Accord. And this is the 26th conference of all the parties together. The question that many Americans should be asking is, hold on a second. We can't put goods on our shelves. We gave $85 billion of money to the Taliban, of weapons to the Taliban. Our borders are completely wide open. Joe Biden has now offered to give illegal aliens $450,000 per person. And we have to be lectured by Biden and Klaus Schwab and John Kerry and Angela Merkel and Emmanuel Macron and all these people, Boris Johnson, who's, by the way, been an awful prime minister. Boris Johnson will go down as one of the worst prime ministers in the history of the United Kingdom. What a disaster, a weak, a cowardly person Boris Johnson is. What are they all saying now? They're all coming together and they say, we must now confiscate private property via the abolition of fossil fuels. We must try to lower carbon emissions and standards. And for what? To try to aim towards a complete reset of not just the American way of life, but the Western way of life as we know it. Remember, this is a dress rehearsal for what they plan to do next. Hey, everybody, I hate to say it, but food shortages are now a reality and you need to prepare for this. Charlie Kirk here, the smartest thing you can do right now is get a 3-month emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply. They're the nation's largest emergency food company, serving millions of Americans for almost 14 years. I use them to prepare and you need to too. And guess what? You can save $100 on their 3-month emergency food kit just in time before the holiday panic. There's something happening out here, everybody, and it's not good and you need to prepare. So you get a wide variety of breakfast, lunches, dinners, drinks, and snacks, over 2,000 calories a day. Go to preparewithkirk.com right now and save $100 per 3-month kit. You can't beat this price. Order now from preparewithkirk.com. That's preparewithkirk.com. Save $100 on a 3-month emergency food kit today. They arrive in unmarked boxes. Save $100 on a 3-month emergency food kit. I use this service and you guys should too. Amazing company. Preparewithkirk.com. Preparewithkirk.com. Be prepared, everybody. Preparewithkirk.com. I asked and we got some good emails. Here's one from John. Charlie, Joe Biden needs to go to confession for having lied about being a, quote, good Catholic. He's about as much of a Catholic as George Soros is. Joe Biden is not a Catholic and neither is Nancy Pelosi. The Catholic Church is under attack from within. All anyone needs to do is check out Church Militant. As a Catholic, I and my wife are disgusted with the filth who claim to be Catholic. From our priests to our bishops to our cardinals and even the Pope himself, our church has been corrupted. No, Charlie, Joe Biden is not a good Catholic, John. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. A lot more to get to with that. So as Joe Biden travels the world, his legislative agenda here has been completely and totally stalled. It's dead on arrival. And even some of the members of the media are now starting to recognize and realize that the poll numbers and the approval ratings for Biden, they are bad across the board. Play cut two.
The polls are going to go up and down and up and down. They were high early, then they got medium, then went back up, and now they're low. Well, look, this is look at every other president. The same thing has happened. But that's not why I ran.
I didn't run to determine how well I'm going to do in the polls. I ran to make sure that I followed through on what I said I would do as President of the United States.
The polls are going up and down. I didn't determine how well I'm going to do in the polls. I ran to make sure I followed through on what I said I was going to do as President of the United States. And that's a really important point, because Joe Biden is admitting what we have now noticed, which is Joe Biden does not care about ever running for president again. Joe Biden is the metaphorical kamikaze presidency. Run it into the ground, get as much transformational change as possible, and whatever happens after that happens. They have been waiting for a president like Joe Biden for quite some time. They've been waiting for a president who is willing to destroy the American currency, keep the borders wide open, enter into all these internationalist global climate change agreements. They have been trying to get a president on the Democrat side that is willing to do the unpopular, yet the radical, and transform the country as it is. How bad are Joe Biden's approval ratings? Well, let's go to cut 9, Chuck Todd highlighting new polling, saying that it's very scary for Democrats and Americans have lost their confidence in President Biden. This is Chuck Todd on MSNBC. Play cut 9.
We have a brand new NBC News poll out this morning. It's filled with some scary news for the Democrats. The overarching message: Americans have lost their confidence in President Biden and their optimism for the country.
Lost their confidence and their optimism for the country. That is cut 9. And cut 10 is Joe Biden's sagging approval numbers are impacting the Virginia race for governor. Play cut 10.
Midterm elections are always tough for the party holding the White House. Their voters are less likely to show up than the voters who are outside of the White House and who are fired up. But they are especially tough when the president's approval rating is sagging, as Biden's is now 42% nationally, 43% in Virginia.
Sagging across the board. I know what a lot of you are thinking. Who are these 43% of people that still support Joe Biden? What is actually going in the right direction for Joe Biden and this regime? And so, in Virginia tomorrow, we're going to do a whole live stream. I encourage you guys to check it out. I've intentionally not talked about the Virginia race yet because we covered it quite honestly a lot last week, and you guys can check it out on our podcast feed. We have a new episode out that says, Can Virginia Go Red? Very interesting episode with Richard Barris, who is very, very, very smart, phenomenal. So check it out on the Charlie Kirk Show podcast feed. And this is bad news across the board for Democrats. And the ruling class did not anticipate this. They did not anticipate within 9 to 10 months this rapid of a reaction from the grassroots against what they're doing at every single level of American society. Including which, one of the major stories is the energy shortage in our country. Is how all of a sudden gas prices and oil prices are at record highs. And what is Joe Biden's solution? Oh, he now wants the very same people that he used to call thugs, Russia and Saudi Arabia, to pump more oil. Meanwhile, he has destroyed the Keystone XL pipeline. He's not giving new fracking leases out in the American West. A lot of people are not going to be embarking on new leases or new drilling campaigns with the current administration. Why would they? Why would they want to borrow a bunch of money right now when they might be shut down and regulated to such a great extent? You see, regulation, when you're in a business, can be even more harmful than high taxes. And many business people in the American energy sector are being not just a little bit shy to get into it. They're terrified to get into new leases. And so now you're starting to see a rapid increase in American energy prices. But what does Joe Biden say? He says, look, it's not right for Russia and Saudi Arabia not to pump more oil. Oh, so now we must be dependent on them? Under Donald Trump, we were exporting energy for the first time in American history. We're exporting more oil than we were importing. Joe Biden decided to end that for a pathological political agenda. Play cut 4.
When the cost of a gallon of gasoline gets to above $3.35 a gallon, it has profound impact on working class families just to get back and forth to work. So I don't see anything inconsistent with that, but I do think that the idea that Russia and Saudi Arabia and other major producers are not going to pump more oil so people can have gasoline to get to and from work, for example, is not right.
Now, this is the most obvious conclusion of what happens when you put a green energy agenda, which is what they're doing in Glasgow, at the forefront. So Joe Biden is complaining that people are paying too much for a price for a gallon of gas, which they are. And then he goes to Scotland and says that we need to abolish all fossil fuels for climate change. Well, which is it? Do you want to have a war on oil, or do you actually want to embrace American energy independence? And so he is saying that Russia and Saudi Arabia, they need to pump more oil. Which planet is it then, Joe? Are they on a different world? I thought it's all about the climate change for the entire planet. Why wouldn't we allow fracking in natural gas, which, by the way, is far more, it's far more friendly to the environment, if that is your sort of goal, than any sort of oil and natural gas extraction that is done in other parts of the planet. And that fracking and natural gas especially is one of the most efficient, energy-friendly ways to power our entire economy and power our grid. And yet Joe Biden, after his deliberate war on American energy, which we've seen in North Dakota, we've seen in Texas, we've seen with the abolition of the Keystone XL pipeline, he's now begging our foreign adversaries to pump more oil. Now, we've said this for a while on our show. Why Republican governors have not come together and said, we're just going to build the Keystone XL pipeline, we don't care what the federal government has to say, goes to show how the Republican Party is not thinking correctly about what this regime is doing. What Joe Biden is saying is he knows now intentionally that his policies and his ideas now being implemented at the top levels of kind of what he's trying to do from an energy perspective is impacting the American way of life. Play cut 11, Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm blames the lack of U.S. oil supply for surging gas prices. Oh, okay. So now the Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm is saying we don't have enough supply of oil. Now, I don't know if these people actually believe what they're saying. Does she mean that we have a temporary supply of oil? We have more natural gas. We just discovered a new basin of natural resources in the Permian Basin, which goes from Texas to New Mexico. That is one of the most, let's just say, abundant reservoirs of oil and natural gas on the planet. Not to mention the untapped assets in the Marcellus Shale that they're not even allowed to frack in the New York side of it because they'd rather build casinos and addictive businesses to fund their schools than actually oil and natural gas. That's what an environmental agenda does. Listen to this, cut 12.
The gas prices, of course, are based upon a global oil market. That oil market is controlled by a cartel. That cartel is OPEC. OPEC controls more than 50% of the petroleum supply and more than 90% of the petroleum reserves. So that cartel has more say about what is going on.
So she now is blaming the cartel, OPEC, even though Donald Trump proved that was all wrong. Do you remember what Donald Trump did? Remember when Trump got in the fight with Saudi Arabia and he got in the fight with Russia and he said, we're going to keep on pumping oil? Do you remember? Go look up this meeting that happened in Vienna. I think it was in the spring of 2020. Remember in January, February 2020, when you had Russia and you had all the Arab countries go and meet in Vienna, and they had like a fake like blow up at the meeting because they couldn't determine on the price of gas. It was at like $22 a barrel. Oil was so incredibly cheap. And yet now you have the Biden administration backpedaling and having to describe, well, we don't know what we can do about it. How about this? You frack and you extract. Play cut 12, saying that rising fuel prices tell us why we have to now double down on green energy prices. These people, had they ever been challenged by anyone meaningful? No, the media, propagandists, play cut 12.
That these rising fuel prices in fossil fuels tell us why we've got to double down on diversifying our fuel supply to go for clean.
Now, energy is not something we spend a lot of time on this show. Happen to know a fair amount about it. I happen to actually know the percentages of what our grid is for nuclear, or the rough percentages, nuclear versus coal versus natural gas. Energy is what powers our life. And the other side, and by the way, some Republicans are falling for this nonsense. I just want to say, some Republicans are falling for this woke green energy scam. Now, what is the significance of this? The significance is that if you are not able to power your grid, then they control everything, obviously. And oil and natural gas by definition, is a decentralized, private, entrepreneurial way to actually have a country or an economy be not just competitive, but dominant. I want you to go up to New Hampshire in January and tell me if they need to use solar panels to try to power their economy. No, instead, what is attempting to be done right now by the czars in Glasgow, and Jennifer Granholm is saying that, while, by the way, in California, some people are paying $4.50 a gallon, is no more fracking, no more using our assets, no more using our competitive advantage. I want you to imagine 100,000 Americans losing their jobs. Well, you can stop imagining and dreaming because it's a reality. Since 2015, over 100,000 independent farms and ranches in the United States have shut down. Why? Because foreign meat is stealing their business and robbing you of the quality and flavor you deserve. That's why Good Ranchers is here. They exist to support local American farms to help you make great American meals. Together, they want you to restore the American ranch and your meals to their former glory. Get the beef, chicken, and seafood that can't be imported or matched at GoodRanchers.com. GoodRanchers.com does an amazing job, everybody. Did you know the product of USA tag has been stolen by foreign countries? They process their meat here and label it like it came from America. Because of these labeling laws that favor foreign imported meat, over 100,000 independent American farms and ranches have closed since 2015. Well, Good Ranchers has gone on a hunt and they have found the American meat, everybody. Good Ranchers is here to put America first at the dinner table and farmers that work to raise the meat we eat. Look, when we get Good Ranchers sent to the office, it's a fight. It's a fury. It is bedlam. It literally is a controversial moment where people, they dig into their battle stances of who is going to get the T-bones, the fillets. And here's the thing. With GoodRanchers.com, you get three birds killed with one stone. I never liked the expression because I kind of like birds. So three mosquitoes killed with one swat, because mosquitoes are no fun, everybody. Mosquitoes are the bottom of the barrel. I never liked to skin a cat either. Who came up with that? There's so many ways to skin a cat. It's kind of a graphic thing. How about this? Three ways to kill a mosquito. One, boom. Everyone listen to this, unless you're fasting indefinitely, needs to eat, or else you're vegan. If you're vegan, I got nothing for you. But if you're non-vegan, number one, this place is for you because you have to eat. Number two, you want to support your country. That's important, right? Number three, you want to support the Charlie Kirk Show. So in all seriousness, if you want to support the Charlie Kirk Show, support the country, and eat, well, then I have a trifecta for you right now. And here's what you got to do. You go to goodranchers.com/Charlie. And last week, Good Ranchers upgraded their website to handle the traffic that came from the listeners of this show. Boom. Boom, everybody. Thank you for supporting Good Ranchers. They support us. If you had trouble ordering last week, GoodRanchers.com is back and better than ever before with an extra special limited time offer. Now, I'm just warning you, though. When you order at GoodRanchers.com/Charlie, maybe you're a mom with a couple boys. They're going to fight over the meat, everybody. I'm telling you, it's going to be a circus. But you should still do it. So GoodRanchers.com/Charlie right now and get, I can't believe this. When they sent this copy to me, I circled it, underlined it, italicized it, and put it in 10 times greater font. Boom! 10 free bistro fillets. You hear that, Connor? 10 free bistro fillets. You know what we could do with 10 free bistro fillets? Mike, we'd eat them all. And even better, subscribe and save $25 each box of mouthwatering meats for life that will show up on schedule right to your door. That's right. Get 10 free bistro fillets, $100 value, and free express shipping if you go to goodranchers.com/Charlie and use code Charlie at checkout. That's 10 free bistro fillets, free express shipping, and $25 off your subscription for life. So here's, you just go to goodranchers.com/Charlie. The meat comes to you. Boom. 1, 2, 3. Love the country. Support the Good Ranchers and support our amazing, let's just say, program and everything that's happening out there. Three things at once. You got to eat. You support America. Support the Charlie Kirk Show. GoodRanchers.com/Charlie. Sometimes the New York Times actually does some reporting, but it's never in the headline. Instead, at the end of their article, there's a throwaway line. Some United States energy producers have said they're reluctant to invest more because they fear oil prices will fall again or because banks and investors are less willing to finance their operations, which is totally true. And we've gone into great detail. ESG. Do you know what ESG is? If you don't, write these letters down. And you have to know about it. It's environmental, societal, and corporate governance, which is an evaluation. It's a score that every single company gets on How green is your company? How socially aware is your company? And of course, all the very woke CEOs like Ed Bastian from Delta Airlines or that other guy that runs Coca-Cola, all they care about is making money. They don't care about the country. They don't care about the nation. They don't care about anything meaningful. All they care about is keeping their job and being in an incredibly weak position. And yet what we see here when it comes to the energy crisis happening to America is that it's not just an unintentional kind of mix-up by Biden. It's not a problem. No, this is a manufactured issue. Just a couple years ago under Donald Trump, American energy exports reached an all-time high in 2019, making it the first time in 67 years that our annual gross energy exports exceeded our gross energy imports. Crude oil production hit new record highs in 2018 and 2019, leaping past the previous record set in 1970. Crude oil production was up 38% in 2019 versus 2016. And the Trump administration has increased exports of United States liquefied natural gas, LNG, by nearly fivefold and issued a 20 long-term authorizations for LNG exports. Our nation, by the way, our air quality improved by 77% over the last 50 years, including 7% under Donald Trump. That's right. Our air quality increased while our actual oil, natural gas, liquid natural gas production dramatically increased as well. In January of 2017, when Trump took office, total U.S. crude oil production was 8.8 million barrels per day. And it reached a peak 3 years later in February of 2020, right before the virus, obviously, exceeding 12.7 million barrels per day, setting a new production record before the coronavirus and global economic slowdown, and now it's back up. And now I want to play cut 15. And this is what's getting everyone up in arms, and this ties the entire hour together, where we could have a nation where we are sovereign, where we control our borders, we control our production, we know what we want, and we are going to get it done for our citizens and our voters. Or you have Prince Charles, who claims a vast military-style campaign, I kid you not, these are the words he uses, is required to marshal in a, quote, fundamental economic transition. Can you say great reset? Play cut 15.
Here we need a vast military-style campaign to marshal the strength of the global private sector. With trillions at his disposal, far beyond global GDP, and with the greatest respect, beyond even the governments of the world's leaders, it offers the only real prospect of achieving fundamental economic transition.
Fundamental economic transition. A vast military-style campaign to control your life. You drive a pickup truck, you're a problem. You work in an oil field, you're a problem. You drive a Chevy Suburban, you're the problem. You keep lights on in a room that you're not supposed to keep on in your house, you're the problem. Now, Prince Charles, being in the royal bloodline, is now claiming for a vast military-style campaign. When all the solutions are in front of us, where we were actually improving air quality, lowering energy prices, expanding production of oil and natural gas for 4 years. But that's the point. Is all of those things do something that Prince Charles and Jeff Bezos, who's actually there and met with Prince Charles, does something that they don't like. It decentralizes power. You see, America is the only country on the planet, only major country, that has the private ownership of minerals. Therefore, we're more efficient, the government doesn't own it, and more people are able to remain free. Energy production is a necessary prerequisite for a nation to remain free. But Prince Charles doesn't want that. He wants a vast military-style campaign. And I'm telling you, climate change is the gateway drug to global totalitarianism. And that's exactly where Joe Biden is right now. While the country's falling apart, he's focused on his true agenda, which, as Prince Charles says, is a fundamental economic transition. That's what we're up against. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our program, you could do so at charliekirk.com/support. Email me directly. I love hearing from you. freedom@charliekirk.com. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.